Spring Fest is happening now at Lowe's. Keep the spotlight on your yard with Stay-Green Premium 2-cubic foot mulch, 5 bags for $10. Plus, when you want more help indoors, get up to 40% off select major appliances that help you supercharge your chores. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid to 422 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero-sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor. With a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So, if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
In particular, in the sixth inning, and Kwas in the eighth inning really had a difficult time finishing off the hitters. And for the most part, they were ahead. But the eight-run sixth inning.
Auto Parts.
Final score at Kauffman Stadium, 12-10 Washington wins it. We check games around the American League Central. The update brought to you by Price Chopper, feeding your hunger. Minnesota is the first-place team. They lost at home to Toronto tonight, 3-1. Kevin Kiermaier hitting his fourth homer. Bo Bichette his 10th homer. Kevin Gausman getting the win. He's 3-3 as Toronto wins at 3-1 over the first-place Twins. The second-place team in the Central is Detroit. They remain two games back as they lost at home to the White Sox, 12-3. Andrew Vaughn, a two-run homer for the White Sox in their victory. Lance Lynn, six innings, one run as he gets the win. He's 4-5 on the year. So the White Sox win. So the White Sox are only five games behind first place Minnesota. Cleveland gets a win against visiting St. Louis tonight, 4-3, as Shane Bieber went 6 2/3, gave up two runs, gets the win. He's 4-3. So Cleveland wins. White Sox beat Detroit. Minnesota falls 3-1. So Minnesota leads Detroit by 2, Cleveland by 3.5, and the White Sox by 5. In the American League Central at the moment. The Royals are right back in action tomorrow afternoon. A 3:10 first pitch. We'd love to see you here for a 3:10 game tomorrow. Don't forget a 1:10 game coming up Sunday as well. And great weather throughout the weekend as Memorial Day in Kansas City. So come on out and join us. And tomorrow the pitchers scheduled will be Josiah Gray, very talented young pitcher going for Washington, and Brady Singer, very talented young pitcher going for the Royals tomorrow in a 3:10 start. And our next broadcast will be a little before that, at 2:30, our pregame show. And for those of you listening on our flagship station in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio, stay tuned for Vern's postgame show with Josh Vernier. It's also available on the Odyssey app. In the final tonight, Washington wins at 12-10. For Denny Matthews, Ryan Lefevre, and our producer-engineer, Eric Guthrie, Steve Stewart saying goodnight from Kauffman Stadium.
Kansas City Royals baseball has been brought to you by Sweet Baby Ray's Barbecue Sauce, the official barbecue sauce of the Kansas City Royals. The sauce is the boss. Sheet Metal Workers Local 2, Demand Metal Excellence. Capital Federal, True Blue for over 125 years. Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC. You've been listening to Kansas City Royals baseball on the Royals Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of Odyssey Sports. For even more coverage of your team, download the free Odyssey app and listen to your favorite stations, shows, and podcasts.
Welcome in to Vern's postgame show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
Yeah, good evening. The final score, Washington 12, Royals 10. For the second time this season, the Royals score double-digit runs and come out on the losing end. Royals lose the opener to Washington and fall a season low, 22 games below 500. I got a very simple question for you, Kansas City. What was that game? 913-586-7610 is our phone number. That's 913-586-7610. What was that? I mean, what was that? And really who I'm asking, if you were one of the 16,000 in attendance tonight, what was this night? Was it? Because it was beautiful. There's no doubt about it. It was a gorgeous night at a beautiful ballpark. And as the game's going on and on Crown Vision, they're showing all of the 16,000 of you. Seemed like you guys were having a great time. I mean, they're dancing left and right. It seemed like a party in the stands, so I'm not trying to bring anybody down. I know the Royals lost, but it seems to me if you were in the building, this was a, well, you can't say a perfect game because the Royals lost. It was a perfect night. I mean, I opened up the On Deck show earlier today just in the best of moods. Sun was beating down, 79 degrees at first pitch. It's a Friday night. It's a four-day weekend forthcoming. A good crowd, great energy in the ballpark throughout the game, really. Had Dick out there throwing the first pitch. It was a great first pitch. So was it a nice game, a fun game, an entertaining game, or was it an awful, ugly baseball game? Because I can see all sides of it. And I don't want to just sit here and lament the 37th loss of the season here in game 52. Because we've done that quite often. And more times than not, the weather isn't as great as it was tonight. So I'm honestly looking to you to set the tone for this postgame show, because if I'm being honest, this was an awful baseball game. Ugly, ugly baseball. Both starting pitchers, the bullpen. Are you kidding me? Josh Stallman needs 33 pitches to record three outs. Amir Garrett needs 28 pitches to record three outs. Jose Quas needs 36 pitches to record three outs. Ugly. But Bobby has four hits. Bobby's a cycle away from the, or a triple away from the cycle. Bobby hit two home runs in as many innings. And then there's the moment where he hits the three-run bomb, and he is on Salvi's tail like that. I don't know if I've ever seen someone run as hard. Forget that it was a home run. Even if it stayed in play, and that was a live ball, I don't know if I've seen anyone with that type of breakneck speed that we saw from Bobby Witt Jr. on that three-run blast in the seventh inning. Drew Waters was back and playing a solid center field and coming through with a pair of knocks, scoring a pair of runs. Bobby's still 22. Waters is only 24. Mikel Garcia is only 23, and he now has three straight multi-hit games. So maybe it was a fun game. Maybe it was an encouraging night. I don't know. You tell me. 913-586-7610. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer, Negative Nancy. I'm not trying to be a drip. That's why I'm looking to you, Kansas City. What was that game? I've just watched too much Royals baseball this season that to me goes in the ugly barrel. And yet, as I'm looking out at Kauffman Stadium, as I'm watching the diehard Royals fans that showed up to cheer on their boys in blue, you guys look like you were having a great time, so I want you to pick me up tonight. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. We're going to start off in Lee's Summit. Guy, you're hitting the leadoff tonight, buddy. What do you got following the Royals' 12-10 loss to the Nationals?
Yeah, thank you, Josh. Thank you. It's concerning to me. I just felt a need to call tonight because I like the hitting. This is a great hitting team. It reminds me of the 2012 core that of Salvi and Eske and them. But what's concerning is I think the coaching staff is leaving the pitchers in too long. It almost sets a tone. It sets a tone that, man, I don't think you can come back. Well, we can come back time and time again. I hope it's a learning lesson for Quartaro. If a guy is off tonight, let's replace him. Let's get somebody in there because our boys are going to hit, and our boys are hitting. This core group, they're exciting. The hitters are exciting. I just want to see a little improvement on pitching decisions. And yeah, our starting pitching needs to kind of refocus. This hitting team needs good pitching.
Yeah.
And let's just keep it up. And well, that's all I got to say.
Well, that's plenty. And I appreciate it. Thank you, Guy. Yeah, I like the 2012 comparison. In fact, I made that comparison earlier today on the On Deck show. You go back and you know, if you remember the 2012 season, like obviously Guy does, Moose and Haas and Kane and Gordo and Butler and Eske and Salvi, yeah, they showed to be solid. They were going to fight. They weren't going to roll over. They weren't losers. They were winners. But they just didn't have enough on the mound. So, that year, 2012, the Royals traded Jonathan Sanchez to the Rockies and brought in Jeremy Guthrie. That offseason, they signed Guthrie to an extension. They traded for Irvin Santana, and they traded for James Shields. So, three trades. From the midway point of 2012 until the beginning of 2013, three trades. Netted you Jeremy Guthrie, who threw 200 innings in 2013, Irvin Santana, who threw 200 innings in 2013, and James Shields, who threw 200 innings in 2013, not to mention Wade Davis, who ate up 100-plus innings, and we all know what kind of machine he turned into in the back end of a bullpen. Now, something similar must happen if 2024 is going to be any different. Because right now, yeah, the issue with this team, and really the issue for this team all season, has been the pitching. Bubich goes down. Lynch is yet to get started. Keller now goes down. Now, to your point about the coaching staff leaving pitchers in too long. That is the most common complaint in the history of this show, dating back to Mike Matheny, Ned Yost, and I'm sure it even predates me. It's a common complaint. Oh, the manager left him in too long. Well, how about this, Jordan Lyles? Do your job. You have the worst ERA in Major League Baseball. You give up more home runs than anyone in Major League Baseball. The least you can do is give us six innings. You've done it once in the past month plus. I'm not blaming Matt Cotraro because Jordan Lyles can't go through a lineup a third time. 76 pitches through five innings. To me, this is not on cue. Jordan Lyles, execute. Do your job. The production hasn't been there. At least the innings need to be there. Right now, Jordan Lyles is not getting the job done. He's not earning his contract. Now, I'm not saying I expected him to have a 4.5 or better ERA. No, not at all. But seven? North of seven? and you've recorded an out in the fifth inning once in the past month plus, that's inexcusable. Even if Matt Cotrero pulls Jordan Lyles after five innings and goes to the bullpen, who are you going to? I mean, unless we're now clamoring for Q to manage like Mike Matheny did. The guy that we couldn't wait to get rid of, Mike Matheny, who attacked every single game. He would have pulled Jordan Lyles there in the fifth and would have thrown his best relievers at the game. Royals would have lost, and the bullpen would be shot tomorrow and the next day, and the losing streak would only continue. Okay, so Q pulls Jordan Lyles after the fifth and goes to Josh Staumont, Amir Garrett, Jose Quas, who? Because all three of those guys pitched and stunk.
No.
It's on the players. It's on the pitchers, in my opinion. Now, you want to make it even larger than that? You want to talk about the person that put these pitchers together? You want to talk about the front office? Okay, but then you need to have another conversation of how much freedom did the front office have to go out and acquire the type of pitchers that they wanted? How much money were they allotted to go out there and sign the type of pitchers that they desired? Furthermore, the pitchers that they desired, were they able to attract them to Kansas City? You know, guys that I wanted last offseason, Sean Manaea, Nate Eovaldi, Kyle Gibson. They went to San Francisco, Texas, and Baltimore, respectively. I believe two of those teams are in first place. It's not easy to acquire free agent pitching, both money-wise, monetarily, right? The average year of a free agent starting pitcher is running about $17 million per year. Hard to pay that, it seems, here in Kansas City, A. And then B, it's hard to attract people to come here when it certainly appeared from the outset that we were staring down the barrel of another 90-loss season. I hope it's only a 90-loss season. Royals lose tonight, 12-10, the final score. Guy, way to get us started. Nice job. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Let's go to Jude in Olathe. Jude, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, first off, I just got to say, I mean, heck of a game by Bobby. I mean, 4 for 5, that's just crazy. But, I mean, this bullpen might be the worst Royals bullpen I have seen in my life. It is just, we have no one. Absolutely. And then the starting pitcher as well, it's just, Lyles has got to go more than five. It's just, it's unacceptable at this point. And Cotrero, he's making bonehead decisions out there.
Like
and
what?
He's just looking,
like
leaving the starters in way too long.
You just said that Lyles needs to go more than five.
For sure.
So what are you talking about?
It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, man.
Yeah, all right, I got you. Thanks for the phone call, buddy. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Cole in Manhattan. You're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals fall to 15-37. Go ahead.
Vern, the last time I called in, I can specifically remember talking about culture, and I was at the game tonight, the second game I've been to this year. I just really struggle with the culture of this organization right now. You talked about all the fans having a great time, and the one thing that I noticed from being at the game was when the Nationals hit a double, when they score 6 runs and they score 8 runs, there's no fans in the stands that really get that frustrated. Nobody really says anything. It's just kind of expected. It's kind of this apathetic attitude that I think Royals fans, and rightfully so, have just been beaten down for these past, you know, however many years. And I feel like that's kind of carried over and onto the team. And I made the comment to my dad, who I was at the game with, I feel so bad for some of these young players that there isn't the pitching that's around them.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing that I noticed. The second thing, and I want to get your thoughts on, Cotrero in the post game press conference said Jordan Lyles earned the right. And we sit here talking about, he needs to do his job better. And some people want to take him out or whatever. But what, however you look at it, you cannot sit here and tell me that he's earned anything. He has not earned anything. I really struggled with that comment. And I think that just kind of goes to the culture. And I just, there's some worrisome signs for me from the staff right now. And I know it's not easy. I know that they're not exactly given the best. But it's just, I really struggle with that comment. And I just hope that the apathy can turn around, because these young hitters are so exciting to watch. They make it fun to go out to the ballpark on a terrible team. You know, you have four or five guys in the lineup at any given time that can do something special. And that's what makes me a Royals fan. And I just hope that they can find a way to turn it around.
Yeah, way to go. Great phone call. Appreciate it. A few things I want to touch on to what you had to say there. I share your concern as far as the young hitters. In fact, sitting up here in the press box during the game, I mentioned to Annie Rogers of MLB.com. I mentioned how a guy like Vinny Pasquantino, I know he would never verbalize this in front of a camera or a microphone, because he is a fantastic teammate and a real leader in that clubhouse. But he's also a winner, right? The undeniable Vinny Pasquantino, 1-for-5 tonight with a single in the eighth inning. Inside, and this is my opinion, okay? This is my, just my belief. Knowing Vinny Pasquantino and what drives him. Same with a guy like Brady Singer, and I've made this point in the past about Brady Singer. And what it reminds me of, my concern with these young hitters, and I hate to make a football analogy, but I always think of those early 2000 Tampa Bay Buccaneers that were led by Warren Sapp and Derek Brooks and John Lynch and Rondé Barber and that great defense that ultimately ended up winning a Super Bowl. Remember during the regular season, those teams inside that locker room, it would turn into defense against offense. Right, Warren Sapp taking pot shots at Trent Dilfer and calling out Sean King and whoever else they had on the offense, Brad Johnson. You don't want those negative thoughts to infiltrate the mind of these young hitters. You don't want Vinny or Bobby or MJ or Waters or Prado, and there's so many, Massey and Garcia. You don't want them thinking, if it wasn't for those lousy pitchers, we'd be good. I'd be successful. I'd be on a winner. You don't want animosity to fester, to grow, to build inside of that clubhouse. Now, that's the job of the coaching staff, to eliminate and eradicate that issue if it does indeed show up at any point. But to make the comparison again to 2012, I think that's what the front office did so well that offseason, was recognize, if we don't properly supply Mike Moustakas and Eric Hosmer with pitching, if we don't give Salvador Perez and Lorenzo Cain and Alcides Escobar the belief that we can win with our pitching, they're going down the drain. Their careers may never be the same. They might turn into losers. Self-involved, self-centered, focused solely on their individual numbers rather than the betterment of the team. And I think we could all understand how that could happen to a young hitter who all of a sudden says, hey, you know what? You know, if it's Moose and Haas back in 2012 or if it's Vinny and Bobby now, you can understand when you're young and immature, you start pointing fingers and, man, I'm surrounded by losers. A, I need to get out of here as soon as I can. And B, I need to focus on me, getting mine. Getting my money, getting my numbers, and getting out of here. You don't want that loser mentality, that loser thought process, which is what that is. Right, they bring in Shields and Santana and Guthrie, and they start focusing on the team, and we're going to do this together, and we're all tugging on the same end of the rope. Before the losing mentality could infiltrate their minds, they became a ball club that even when the hitters went through slumps, they still had a chance to win because the guy taking the ball was giving you a chance. Right now in this rotation, who's giving you a chance every time they take the ball? Greinke? Yes. And that's it. Zach Greinke's giving you a chance to win in 10 of his 11 starts. The Royals have lost all 11 of Jordan Lyles' starts, including tonight, 12-10, the final score. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's head out to Liberty. Jared, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Yeah, Vern, it's kind of interesting to me. I think a lot of people complain about coaching decisions, all of this. Well, first of all, Quintero walked in, really didn't know what he was dealing with. And I think part of the issue with the front office is they didn't really know what they were dealing with either. This is kind of a prove-it season almost for some of those young hitters. Mm-hmm. They had a rookie year. They looked good. Let's see how they do the second year. Mm-hmm. And from a business perspective, are you going to dump in a ton of money to pitchers when you don't even know if your offense is going to be good?
Great point.
And so I think in some way this was a prove-it season of, hey, okay, can we build something off of these young hitters that we have? And then next year, okay, let's go out and spend some money. Let's spend some pitching. These guys can hit. So for me, you know, you asked, why is this encouraging? Well, you saw your young guys step up tonight and hit the ball. I mean, Bobby Witt having four hits is great to see. And, you know, him moving out of the leadoff spot, they're kind of figuring some things out. They're going, okay, where are these guys going to be successful? So that way next year, okay, we know they're going to be successful here. Let's invest in the other side of the ball to give everyone a chance to win. And I just think you knew it was going to be a bad year. Jordan Lyles is getting paid to eat innings, and he's not doing that, and he's not doing his job. So something needs to be done about that. But, I mean, you had to go into it going, this is a prove-it year. Are we going to be good at all? Are these young guys any good that we're bringing over for more? If not, okay, you know, we got to figure something out. And so I just think you got to be patient.
Wow, yeah, terrific phone call. It's almost as if you're in the meetings with J.J. Piccolo and John Sherman because you are on the money. 100%. Great phone call. Yeah, you call it a prove-it season. The team's calling it an evaluation season. But everything you just heard Jared say, there is no argument. He's right. He's right about this season, and he's right about Jordan Lyles. You know, to go back to the previous caller who asked how, you know, earned the right, how can Q say that Jordan Lyles earned the right to go back out there in the sixth inning? Q's always going to get his players' backs. All managers are going to fall on the sword for their players, for their organization, for their bosses. In my opinion, when Q says that Jordan Lyles has earned the right, yeah, he's talking about his decade plus in the big leagues, sure. And his, you know, eating up 180 some odd innings over the past few seasons. Yeah, he's pointing to his track record, but he's also, in my opinion, pointing to, we signed him to a 2-year, $17 million deal to give us that sixth inning. We're paying him to go out there and either win us the game or lose us the game by getting through that sixth inning. So, yeah. Do I wish the Royals won? Yeah, I do. I wish they were 16-36. But instead, they're 15-37. The decision to put Lyles back out there in the sixth inning, in the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't matter. When Q says he's earned the right, he's tipping his cap to this 32-year-old's big league career and what he's already done, but he's also acknowledging that I don't know if we have anyone else that we send out for that sixth inning. That's not Greinke. It certainly hasn't been Singer. Lynch is yet to show up. And I don't know who else is in the rotation. But you're right. I mean, and Jared, to go back to your prove-it season, it comes back to my theme for the season, my analogy for the season, the campfire. You know, the campfire, the genesis of the campfire was, we believe we have something here, right? We all believed that this organization had something coming into the season when it came to Salvi and Bobby and Vinny and MJ. Right, little embers burning. Didn't know what else. Did they surround them with enough? Pitching-wise, coaching-wise. Yeah, you brought in some coaches from Tampa, from Cleveland, that you thought could help jumpstart this fire. Maybe turn those embers into a small little fire. Maybe that turns into a blaze if you surround it with proper kindling. Lyles and Chapman, Massey and Prado, Waters and Michael Garcia. Is that enough? And where's the spark coming from? Because it all looked good. You know, you have all the... you have the aesthetics of what could be a true blaze, right? A campfire that could warm us all summer long. It will bring people from all around the Midwest. You got to come to the campfire. You got to check out Kauffman Stadium and see what Bobby and MJ, what Vinny and Brady, and what this team is doing. But did they surround them with enough? And where's the spark coming from? Because here we are now 52 games into the season, and they're yet to light this campfire. So it's really just people like you and I sitting around waiting, going, Q, can you get it started? Brian Sweeney, how about you? Drew Waters, can you do it? Michael Garcia, who's going to start this campfire? Because I'm starting to get cold. It's rather damp out here. And you know what? I might just head home. So my thought was, if over the course of these 162 games, we're able to get this fire started and we start to attract a crowd to Kauffman Stadium, and those burning embers turn into a true blaze, well then, yeah, to your point, Jared, I think J.J. Piccolo and John Sherman pour some gas on this fire at season's end. And then we got something special in 2024. Unless this evaluation season, this prove-it season, as you called it, unless it comes back with more thumbs down than thumbs up, you didn't surround Bobby and MJ and Vinny and Salvi with enough. No one was able to provide the spark. Yeah, yeah. You know what? It does make sense that John Sherman, that J.J. Piccolo would say, you know what, I don't know if I'm willing to back up the Brinks truck for a few big-name free agent pitchers, because if it turns out that Prado and Massey, they're good players, but they're not complimentary, they're not championship players. If it turns out that, you know what, MJ wasn't a burning ember. Turns out that Drew Waters isn't that $100 million player down the line. Well, then suddenly, you spent a lot of money to win 72 games. They didn't spend a lot of money this offseason, and they still could somehow get close to 70 wins. No, I understand, and if I was in JJ or John Sherman's shoes, I probably would do the exact same thing. I would want an evaluation season. I would want to know if we have a good enough offense to supply it with that type of pitching. The amount of money that it would take to bring in that type of pitching, I'd like to find that out. And I think over the first 52 games, the answer heading into this offseason, this trade deadline, is get them pitching or they're going to turn into losers. Make those trades. Bring in that Guthrie, that Irvin Santana. And if you can, find that James Shields. Royals lose 12-10. Phone lines are open for you. What was that game? Fun? Encouraging? Just a beautiful night at the ballpark? Just a beautiful game? Or was it an awful game? 9 walks. 15th time this season the Royals have allowed 8 or more runs. Was it an ugly game? 913-586-7610. We go back to the phone calls. We talk with Ty in Sedalia. Ty, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
What's up? Well, I guess we can't spell Jordan Lyles without the letter L, because all we do is take losses when he's on the mound. I actually had faith when he was after that fifth inning, after it was a 2-1 game. I actually had faith in him, but then that sixth inning happened and I lost all faith. I've seen during the season that going through third time through the order, Mac Manchero has decided to pull Zach Greinke very early. He could have done that here with Jordan Lyles, and that could have saved this game. And who knows if we would have seen all these runs. And
Josh what about this game? What about this game tells you if he pulls Jordan Lyles in the fifth, Royals win?
Well, we've seen the last couple starts. Jordan Lyles has not fared well in the third time through the order. He's done the same thing with Zach Greinke. It's worked out. If he could have done the same thing with Jordan Lyles, who knows? We may not have seen this offensive explosion for Washington. We could have seen a different pitcher come out. Now, we probably would have saw Josh Staumont still, but who knows? It could have been a different outcome. We might not have seen all these runs come out. We could have still kept that lead.
The bullpen gave up more runs than Jordan Lyles did.
Yeah, but you still never know what's going to happen if you take him out.
Okay, well, then you don't know that anything good would have happened.
Yeah, you don't know if anything good's going to happen either.
Right.
But also, I want to point out also to continue on, Josh Staumont coming in, allowing those four runs. We got to question why he was out there that long. Jose Quas comes out there. He allows a ton of runs. Why is he out there that far?
Right.
Amir Garrett allows.
Because they're on the team. All right, thanks for the phone call, Ty. Guys, what are we doing here? So you don't want Lyles to go back out in the fifth. You don't want to see Garrett, Staumont, or Quas. So basically, you want Mike Matheny back. And I'm not trying to take a shot at Mike Matheny. I got nothing against him. But you want Q to manage the way that Mike Matheny did, which is attack every single win at all cost. You're 22 games below 500. How about this? Throw strikes. Do your job. Earn your money. Earn the paycheck. Go six innings. No, yeah, you're right. Yeah, he pulled Zach Greinke after the fifth. First of all, Greinke has a say in when Greinke comes out. And B, Greinke is 7 years older than Jordan Lyles. Greinke, his job is to give you five innings and a chance to win. And he's done it in more than 90% of his starts. So the way they're handling Greinke's working, right? Jordan Lyles' job is to eat up innings, and he's not doing that. Now you're losing with whoever takes the mound. You're 22 games below 500. The least somebody can do is eat up innings to help us through what appears to be a pretty awful march through the summer right now. Royals lose 12-10. We'll get back to your phone calls right after this.
SpringFest means more sun, more fun, and more free at Lowe's. Keep your yard in line with an additional free EGO 56-volt battery when you buy a select EGO mower, trimmer, or blower. Plus, keep landscaping fresh with Stay-Green 1-cubic-foot garden soil, 5 bags for $10. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 4A while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero-sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor. With a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-hour energy shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
Springtime's the perfect time to turn the page and refresh your home style. The only problem? It can be expensive. Luckily, there's a better way to shop well-worthy pieces for less at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's negotiates with manufacturers to get you the best everyday low prices, giving the shopping power back to you. The power to get more style, comfort, and quality for less on amazing pieces like stylish mid-century dining sets made for hosting those big spring brunches, pop-up sleeper sectionals with all the bells and whistles so you can turn any room into a guest room, and next-level Bobopedic mattresses so you can get a great night's rest after you've finished redecorating every room. So, when you're ready to spring into new style, stop into your nearest store or shop online and see how you can get wow-worthy style for less with Bob's Discount Furniture.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
It's swung on and lined to left field and deep and gone into the Washington bullpen on a 1-2 pitch.
That was the first of two home runs from Bobby Witt Jr. That was number 8. A 1-2 slider down and in. He golfs it 416 feet, as Ryan LaFever just told you, into the Nationals bullpen. 107 miles per hour off of the bat. Cut the Washington lead to 6. 9-3 after Bobby's leadoff homer there in the 6th inning. Bobby would homer in the very next inning. A 3-run blast with one out in the 7th made it a one-run game. Royals put up 5 in the 7th inning. Unfortunately, the Nationals would score 3 in the 8th. Royals would score 2 more in the 8th. It was just a wild, wild game. And unfortunately, it ends the way that so many of them have ended this year, with a Royals loss. 12-10, the final score. I'm curious, what was that game to you? If you were in the building, it seemed like an entertaining game. A beautiful game. Certainly a beautiful night. Bobby with 4 hits. Salvi drives in 3 runs. Drew Waters makes his debut and scores a pair of runs. Michael Garcia with another multi-hit night. So maybe it was an encouraging game. But 9 walks and 12 runs allowed on 15 hits. And in the biggest spots. Now, MJ, man, what a rough strikeout there in the 8th inning. Royals down by 2, runners on the corners with 2 outs. MJ Melendez could have served as the game-winning run there in the 8th inning. 2 on, 2 outs. And he goes down swinging through a slider that never even flirted with the strike zone. Looked like MJ was gripping it a little tight, trying to do a little bit too much there in the biggest of spots. So what was this game? I ask you. Phone lines are open. The text line is there as well. 913-586-7610. From the Jays Southland Tow Service text line, Alex writes in, "Not surprising is what that night was, Vern." From the 816, Riley and Lotawana, Bobby Witt Jr. looks like a different hitter out of the leadoff spot. Bobby moved out of the leadoff spot in the series against Detroit. Monday, he was dropped to the 6th spot, went 0-4. Tuesday, hit in the cleanup spot, and after starting 0-2, lays down that bunt, his first ever bunt hit as a big leaguer. And since then, since that bunt hit Tuesday in the 5th inning, Bobby Witt Jr. is 3-6, 7-11. So 7-11 in the cleanup spot. Yeah, has it taken some pressure off of him? I don't know. You know what? Let's hear what Bobby Witt Jr. had to say after his four-hit night. 4 for 5. He scores 3 runs. He drives in 5. He had this to say afterward on Bally Sports Kansas City.
Felt good. Just kind of getting things going. And so, yeah, just felt good. Just ready to kind of get things rolling for sure.
Your offense being able to come back like you guys did, what does that say about your lineup?
Yeah, I think it shows we've done, I think, a bunch of games this year that we're always going to keep fighting, and that's just kind of how we are. We're just going to keep grinding ABs and keep putting together things, and then Sowie's going to do his thing in the moments, and just we're going to kind of try to follow up after him and keep doing that.
You almost caught him.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell what happened there, if the ball went out or not, if it started running.
Did you have to, like, intentionally slow down when you saw him, like, did you see that it was a homer first?
Yeah, I started slowing down once ever kind of saw that it was a homer. So, yeah.
What went into the double steal in the fourth inning right there? You said you kind of have a green light. What did you see just to...
Yeah, just kind of been timing it up, a couple pitches, and then thought the time was right. And so I was able to kind of get that, and MJ followed along and got a bag too, so it was good. Yeah.
First homer, not that far off the ground. What goes into that approach and hitting that pitch?
Just being able to kind of see it out of the hand, be on time, and just be able to try to put the barrel on the ball. Because once you do that, it just goes. That's kind of the name of the game. Just put the bat on the ball and let everything else happen, and just whatever. Can't really control too much after that.
Bobby Witt Jr. responsible for 6 of the Royals' 10 runs. As an infield single in the first, a leadoff double in the fourth, he steals third base, forcing an errant throw from the Nationals' catcher, and then he just trots home. Solo home run to lead off the 6th, 3-run bomb in the 7th, and an RBI fielder's choice in the 8th inning. Bobby matches a career high with 4 hits, has his 2nd career multi-home run game, and my game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. Bobby becoming the 4th player in team history with 2 home runs and a stolen base in the same game, joining Bo Jackson, Carlos Beltran, and Mike Aviles. Royals lose, though, 12-10, the final score. Let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. We go to John in Raytown. John, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead. Hey, John, you still there? You set the phone down? Yeah. All right, John. John, you're really screwing us all with that. Let's go to Chris in Lee Summit. Let's see if he's paying attention on this Friday night. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I'm paying attention.
There you go, buddy. There you go.
I'll tell you, you know, what is it, this game? To me, it's one word, demoralizing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all know that pitching is an issue, and we know this is an evaluation season, but what I worry about the most is these young kids getting in their heads, like I think MJ Melendez might have been, mm-hmm. when trying to do too much at the wrong time. I mean, the right time, but he's trying to do too much because we're scoring 10 runs and we're giving up 13. I mean, it seems like no matter what, these kids eventually, if we don't start winning some games or figuring out a way to at least make them competitive, they're going to get out of their way and start doing too much. And then eventually it's just going to be demoralizing for them. For us as a fan, you know, they want us to spend so much money and move this ballpark and try to put so much into the city. But when we can't even put a competitive game together, it's demoralizing for us to be a part of. So the key word for me would be just demoralizing because, like you said, you know, who do you go to? I mean, outside of if you take Chapman and Greinke and put them aside, we don't have a guy that you can say, I'm going to this guy in this inning in this situation, and he's going to get it done. And that's what the problem is. It doesn't matter if it's in the starting rotation. It doesn't matter if it's in the middle relief or even at the end. It's hard to put that together and say, okay, I know today is going to be a competitive day. Because I look at this, and as I've been going through the season, it just seems like I'm expecting at some point one of these guys to give up 2 or 3 home runs, and then we're down 5 runs. Yeah. So it makes it demoralizing, and I don't know, maybe what do we do? We get Mike Mayers out of the minor leagues? Do we go and get Michael Wacha off the free agent tracker? I mean, we got to get something done, and I understand that, once again, it's evaluation season, but how long are we going to allow this to go before it affects the minds of a 22-year-old, 23-year-old, 24-year-old, you know, first, second, third year player. I don't want them to get in their heads to make it look like, oh, we have to put up 10, 15 runs to have a chance.
Right, right. Oh, it's a fantastic phone call, Chris. Thank you very much. Hope to hear from you more often as this season progresses. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. I'd put Scott Barlow, I'd put Barlow in that group with Greinke and Chapman of, I feel comfortable, I know what I'm going to get from him in a specific spot. But to your overall point, I'm with you 100%, especially about MJ Melendez. I mean, if you're MJ standing there in the box, two on, two outs, down by two, you've watched your pitching staff give it up over and over and over again. Yeah, you're thinking, if I don't hit a three-run home run right here, we're definitely going to lose. Here's the thing, Chris, as you were making your terrific points. You know, the thing that I still believe in Brady Singer, still a big fan of Brady Singer, still very happy that the Royals drafted him and very happy that he's going to be in Kansas City for years to come. But last year, how often did I sit right here and say, Brady Singer, save us, Brady Singer. You're our only hope. All right, Singer on the hill tomorrow. He squares off with Josiah Gray. It's a 3:10 first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show starting at 2 o'clock. I'll also have a pair of tickets for you to win to see Shohei and Mike Trout come to Kauffman Stadium on Father's Day. So make sure you're listening tomorrow right around 2:15 for your chance to win those tickets. But Brady Singer last year turned into a thing that ball players or talking heads in baseball call win day. James Shields was win day in 13 and 14. The day where a ball player or a bozo like me that covers the team, when you're driving to the ballpark, you know, if we can just scratch across a couple runs, two, maybe three, we're going to win the game. Because the boss is on the hill. Shields, you know, Duffy had flashes, Ventura had moments, Edinson Volquez had his year. You know, Brady Singer was that guy last year, where if Salvi's driving to the ballpark, he knows, I don't need to carry us tonight. Sure, I got to carry us in every other game, but Brady's pitching tonight. If I just do my job, make all the routine plays defensively, and just take what the pitcher's given me, we're going to win this game because that dude's on the hill. To your point, Chris, you don't want MJ and Bobby and Vinny and Massey and Garcia and Waters and Prado. You don't want these 25 and under ball players driving to the ballpark going, we got to score 10 runs. We got to score 7 runs or we're not going to win. Because you know what happens when you think I got to score 7 runs? You start trying to hit 5-run home runs and they don't exist. You know what you don't do when you think we got to score 7 runs? You don't go to the opposite field. And that's how you win. By passing the baton, by doing your job, by executing what is required of you in that particular at-bat. Fantastic phone call. Very legitimate concern. Let's go to Brendan in Olathe. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, I went to the game tonight, and I gotta say, I kind of take exception with this. I thought it was a thrilling experience, and I think people's concerns, while I understand them, I think they're a little overblown. Here, especially when it comes to the coaching staff and mm-hmm. Quartararo, he's literally been the manager for 2 months.
Right.
He's experimenting. He is conducting a team that is rehearsing its players for future success, and I think he's doing it in the perfect way possible. I think that there is not a manager on earth that could do to this pitching staff what these people want him to do. Whitey Herzog couldn't do it. I mean, it's just not possible. And I'm even kind of tentatively excited about this pitching staff because Chapman was a guy that the Yankees were more than happy to let go of. And they sent him home.
They just said, get out of here. We don't even want you.
They're turning him back into a closer again. Yeah. Bubic looked great in his first three starts. Granted, not a great sample size, but still, there are some results to be optimistic about. I think what you said earlier about the 2012 offseason moves and replicating that, there is no best case scenario. But what we saw tonight is a showcase of the future stars of our team. And let's be honest, like at this point, what is one loss going to do? It's going to give us a little bit better odds to get a great pick. And you know, we haven't had great history in the past, but law of averages says we're going to get better eventually.
I
understand people's frustration, but in the grand scheme of things, when you zoom out a little bit, I think this culture of our franchise is taking some quality turns in that. I think the brighter days are closer than we think they are.
Love it. Hey, appreciate the phone call. This is, Brendan, terrific phone call. And I don't disagree with anything that you said. This is why I wanted to have a very open question tonight. Just what was that game? What was it to you? Because I can see all angles of it. You know, the text line, I'm getting all sorts of different responses. And I can understand those of you that think it was an ugly game, an awful game, a predictable game, a thrilling game, a fun game, a beautiful game. Because it was all of those things. It really just matters in how you're viewing this season. Now, I struggle with it as well, you know, because there are times where I get so focused in on that, on those nine innings, on that particular game. And yeah, that can be frustrating. But then, as you said, you take a step back, you look big picture, and yeah, Bobby had four hits and looked dialed in. You know, Salvi just continues to bring the same type of energy, the same type of leadership, focus that you would ask for from your possible future Hall of Famer. You can see the care in a Vinny Pasquantino, the desire of a MJ Melendez, the ability of a Drew Waters, the untapped potential of a Michael Garcia. Now, I'm with you. Great phone call. Opens up a line for you. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals drop game one to the Nationals, 12-10 the final score. We'll get back to your thoughts right after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
Now, I also have a rather stomach-turning statistic to pass along. This courtesy of some statistic, the official Twitter page for Stats Performs, I don't know. I retweeted it, so I gave him love. But Bobby Witt Jr. is the only Major League Baseball player to notch four hits, two homers, drive in five runs, steal a base, and lose the game. I don't mean the only player this season to do all of those things and lose. I mean the first big leaguer to do all of those things and lose since RBI became an official stat back in 1920. So in 103 years, the only person to have four hits, two homers, drive in five, and steal a base and lose the game is our boy, Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, it's impressive what he did. It's unbelievable what he did.
913-586-7610. Royals lose 12-10. Let's head back inside the Royals clubhouse and hear what Jordan Lyles had to say. Lyles, who following his five innings and five runs on six hits, three walks, and a pair of strikeouts. Following his five innings of work, his ERA, I don't want to say balloon, but it went up. Didn't really balloon. It was 7.17 coming into the day, and it's now 7.3. Bottom line, he's given up more home runs than anyone in the sport. His ERA is as high as anyone in the sport, and he's not top 20 in Major League Baseball when it comes to innings pitched. So bottom line, he's not doing his job. Let's hear what he had to say after the game to Bally Sports, Kansas City.
To Garcia, he had a heck of a night. What was it, 5-6 hits? Double there, then the next hitter just left us a slider that didn't do much, and I just left on the inner half of the plate, and he ripped it for a double. And then had a little battle and ended up walking the next guy. And then Dickerson, just another battle, 3-2, and tried to go outer half, and I just yanked it for 3-2, and he made a good quick swing on it, and it went over his fence.
You feel good about going out there at 76 pitches? I mean, it seemed like you were...
Yeah, for sure. And plus, I think we just scored two right there, so we took the lead up 2-1. I felt good. I wanted to scratch out not just a sixth, but another seventh, and try to get our offense back in there. Bobby was swinging it really good, but during the time I was still out there, got away from us really quick, it was tough to get three outs in that sixth inning for us.
Yeah, Jordan Lyles takes the loss. He's now 0-9 on the season. The Royals are 0-11 in his starts. Thanks to Annie Rogers of MLB.com for supplying the questions. Let's go to Dan and KCK. Dan, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Josh, how you doing? Yeah, fun night. Yeah, Bobby with a career high five RBIs and Sally driving in three. And I agree, Josh. I think Quintero did the right thing. The lead, it was Elias' job to get out of the sixth inning. Just get out of the sixth or go. I'll try to go seven. You know, that's what he's getting the pay to do. And I understand the frustration of the fans, but it's going to come around. And, you know, I think a team meeting, like, you know, Salvi and Matt Duffy, they're veterans, and they can have a team meeting or something. I remember 2014 when Abanias. I had that team meeting at Chicago, and they were 50-50. They just took off. So anything could happen, though. So take care of yourself, Josh. Let's
go
tomorrow.
Yeah, that team was 50-50, though. That team was 50-50. That's 500. This team's 22 games below 500. And I'm sure Matt Duffy could stand up and say something profound. So could Salvi or Zach Greinke. But the thing is, after Raul Ibanez made that speech, guys like... James Shields and Yordano Ventura, Danny Duffy, and Jeremy Guthrie took the hill and gave you a chance to win. And Duffy can get up there and say whatever he wants, but if Brady Singer doesn't go out there tomorrow and give you a strong sixth inning, it's all words. It's all for naught. But yeah, it's Brady Singer tomorrow as he squares off with fellow right-hander Josiah Gray. It's a 3:10 first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show starting at 2 o'clock as the Royals try and even up this two-game set with the Washington Nationals. Look, a righty on the mound, you got to think that the lineup is going to consist of all kids and Salvi. Prado and Massey, Bobby and Waters, Michael Garcia, and Vinny Pasquantino and MJ Melendez. Brady's on the hill. It's going to be a fun day at the K. I hope to see you out there. I'm excited for it. I'm always excited to watch Brady Singer. Blake Schneiders, how about the job he did on the board? Wonderful.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. Seventh strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.
Springfest is happening now at Lowe's. Keep the spotlight on your yard with Stay-Green Premium 2-cubic foot mulch. 5 bags for $10. Plus, when you want more help indoors, get up to 40% off select major appliances that help you supercharge your chores. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid to 422 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero-sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor. With a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So, if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
How would you describe yourself? Fun? Sporty? Bold? If that's the case, meet the Kia K4 hatchback, made for motion, adventure, and whatever you might decide to bring along. Or would you say you're more smooth, sleek, refined? If so, there's the Kia K4 sedan. Calm, confident, and ever so modern. Two personalities, two available turbocharged ways forward. The Kia K4 GT Line Turbo and the K4 Hatchback GT Line Turbo. What turbos you? Turbo is available on select K4 trims.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.